This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
If you're following the status of assault weapons bills in Illinois, you might get whiplash. At the beginning of the year, we had a ban. And now, after a lot of back and forth in the courts, we don't. This is the Reset Podcast. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. A federal judge in the U.S. District Court of Southern Illinois has ruled to block the assault weapons ban in our state. The ban has faced a number of lawsuits, injunctions, and restraining orders since it was introduced after the Highland Park shooting and signed into law on January 10th. Many of these lawsuits have been filed in the Northern District, which is viewed as more liberal. Southern District Judge Stephen McGlynn granted a motion for a preliminary injunction to block enforcement of the ban statewide. Translation, you can still buy an assault-style rifle in Illinois. For now. We're joined from Springfield by WBEZ State House reporter Mawa Iqbal. So let's start by clearing things up with how we got to today's development. Governor Pritzker signed the Protect Illinois Communities Act on January 10th, banning assault weapons across the state. And Judge McGlynn has now blocked the ban. So just break it down for us, Mawa. How did we go from having a ban to now no ban?
So essentially, after Governor Pritzker signed the act into law, there were just a flurry of lawsuits that came in from pro-gun advocates that were saying, you know, this violates our Second Amendment rights to bear arms and self-defense. And so a lot of those lawsuits were filed in the federal Southern District Court in Southern Illinois. So that court made a motion, I think a couple months ago, to just consolidate all the lawsuits because they're essentially saying, you know, the same arguments. And so instead of having, you know, multiple hearings that would be like similar hearings for all these different lawsuits, they figured, why don't we just make it all into one big thing and have one big hearing? Yeah. And so essentially, April 12th, almost a month ago, there was a hearing. Oral arguments for a motion to grant what's called a preliminary injunction. So basically what that means is just like a temporary blockage of the ban while the judge considers the larger question of, okay, like, is this violating people's constitutional rights? Which, of course, you know, can take like months, maybe even a year or two to really come to that final decision. And so plaintiffs were like, well, let's just get this blocked for now. And so, yeah, they had that hearing April 12th, and last Friday, the judge, Judge Stephen McGlynn, granted them that that blocking. So,
and as you mentioned there, I mean, a lot of other judges have weighed in on this, with two other federal judges actually upholding the ban days earlier than McGlynn's block. How is it actually determined who can override who?
Yeah, so since the lawsuits in the Northern District were separate, those don't actually have any bearing on like what happens in the Southern District.
Okay.
But the only way that someone can override a federal judge is if it's an appeals judge. If they override the decision, or if the U.S. Supreme Court, which is the next highest step, will issue something that overrides what the federal judge said.
So that we're clear, what is the status of gun rights today? Can someone legally purchase an assault rifle right now in this state?
Yeah. So, I mean, this temporary blocking, this preliminary injunction goes into effect, you know, immediately, and it's enforced statewide. So that means anyone in the state of Illinois, essentially, it goes back to whatever the status quo was before this act was signed into law. And so anyone can go purchase a semi-automatic weapon. Any gun owner or gun shop owner can sell them. And another provision of the law had required people who were already owners of these firearms to register them with the state. Now, at least for the time being, they don't have to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. What was the reaction in Springfield after the news broke of the ban being blocked?
Honestly, so, you know, I'm here, right? And I haven't heard really anything from lawmakers, although the Illinois State Rifle Association, which is, you know, of course, a pretty big pro-gun lobby group, like they were, you know, pretty excited about this news, saw it as a really positive development. They're also one of the plaintiffs in the case as well. So they definitely saw this as a very promising step.
What do we know about Judge McGlynn and his views of the assault weapon ban?
Yeah, so he, you know, of course, is a little bit more conservative leaning, which is a big motivation for why the plaintiffs decided to file these lawsuits in the Southern District Court. He was appointed by former President Donald Trump. He, even just in the hearings that I sat in on in April, mm-hmm. You know, towards the end of it, he was talking, and he even said, you know, not to editorialize, but I feel like, you know, we need to, instead of like focusing on guns as being the bad guys and all these mass shootings, let's look at like mental health and let's put the focus more on like mental health programs for troubled youth and teens. So it kind of seemed like he, at least with the gun debate, he was a little bit more sympathetic to the pro-gun side. I definitely noticed a real distinction with how he was questioning the defendants. You know, I felt like he was going way harder on them than the plaintiff side. Yeah.
Let me read you a quote from his ruling. It says, quote, although defendants challenged the veracity of plaintiff's evidence, they were unable to produce evidence showing that modern sporting rifles are both dangerous and unusual. Consequently, defendants failed to meet their burden to demonstrate that the arms banned are dangerous and unusual and thus not protected by the Second Amendment. So just break that down for us, Moa.
Yeah, so the burden of proof that he's talking about actually comes from a Supreme Court case out of New York last summer. It's the Bruin case, which is what it's referred to. And they basically rule that the burden of proof must fall on the state to prove that these firearms are, yeah, quote, dangerous and unusual. And so he's saying that the defendants failed to prove that ARs are dangerous, essentially just saying that, you know, when it comes to like gun crime in general, AR-15s aren't really used. It's like other types of firearms that are used in like overall gun crime statistics. Mm-hmm. So they have more of a proof or more of a burden to show like, you know, are these actually dangerous to the public?
So now that Judge McGlynn's blocked this ban, how can folks who are in favor of the ban respond?
Yeah, so I mean, if I guess it's kind of like a waiting game to see what happens. Right now, it's going through the appeals process. So Illinois Attorney General Kwame Rowell filed an appeal within the Southern District of Illinois, basically just saying, you know, we don't agree with this order. And he also filed a stay of motion. So that just means that, like, while this is going through the appeals process, while he's appealing them, like, we should stay the order, meaning that it should not go into effect just for the time being. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. But, yeah, there's not really much else gun control advocates can do aside from just, like, you know, lobbying and wait it out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So. You mentioned the Attorney General. Does the Attorney General have overriding powers here?
No, it really, I mean, his role, right, is to just appeal and to present arguments, you know, in hearings and file motions. But really, it is up to the judge to hand down the final decision.
So what timeline should we expect here for any further developments with the ban? And how soon could it be reinstated? I think that's what a lot of folks want to know.
Well, honestly, as soon as the appeals process gets going, I mean, if they, you know, it's kind of like what will happen is like a back and forth sort of thing. So like if the appeals court grants the attorney general's appeal, then the ban theoretically or the preliminary injunction can be overturned. But then, of course, plaintiffs can file another appeal to that to the U.S. Supreme Court if they want to. So it's kind of hard to say as far as the timeline goes. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, that this could take up to like a few months to a year for all to go underway. But it's just, yeah, I guess the best answer I have is to just sort of wait and see what happens.
That was WBEZ State House reporter Mawa Iqbal. Thank you, Mawa.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Michael Liptrot and edited by Ethan Schwab and Dan Tucker. The focus of our show is bringing you the news that impacts your life every day. That's also what our newsletter is about. If you haven't signed up yet, head over to wbez.org/reset and get in the know. That's it for this episode. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.